her. He twisted the brass knob and pushed open the door.
Hey, Burton, it's Wolf.
Still no answer.
Hal, it's Wolf. I'm coming in.
He stepped inside, keeping his footfalls quiet as he waited for sounds of life that never came. A dark line of logic snapped together in his mind, one involving Burton's nephew being a person of interest in a murder case. Maybe Jesse had come north to pay his uncle a visit after all. With his gun drawn, he crept into the kitchen, his feet silent on the solid wood floor. The room smelled like old food, and it looked like the pile of dishes spilling out of the sink and the overflowing trash bin were culprits.
What the hell?
He asked the kitchen under his breath. The room seemed to shrug back at him. The last time Wolf had been here, the place had been shining, spotless, filled with the rich smell of vegetables simmering on the top-of-the-line gas stove. Now it looked like a Sasquatch had taken over and tried to teach itself how to cook.
Burton!
A moan came from the next room. He moved quickly around a granite peninsula, past the kitchen table, and into the living room. One of the two thick leather couches creaked with movement. Burton lay face down, snoring hard. A pool of drool had collected next to his mouth.
Hey. Wolf slapped the unkempt silver beard. Burton, you okay?
Burton's eyelids cracked open, revealing a web of broken blood vessels beneath.
Are you hurt?
Just as the question came out of his mouth, he caught the stench of alcohol, saw the glass of watered-down scotch on the end table, the empty bottle lying on the floor. As the adrenaline dissipated, Wolf relaxed and took in the scene. There were more empty bottles in the kitchen, clumped together on the counter next to the refrigerator. He eyed his watch, which read 1:13 p.m. Burton had gone back to sleep, his head turned toward the back of the couch. Wolf felt his agony and decided to let him be for now. He made his way back into the kitchen and stood in the center. Careful not to let too many memories of his own house a year ago flower in his head, he assessed the place with a detective's eye. This was more than a vacation from proper living while his wife was out of town. This was a full-on bender brought on by Cheryl's leaving. McLean's orders came back to him, and now that he thought of it, Jesse Burton could have parked on that shaded, trash Armageddon side of the house. Wolf weaved his way back into the hallway and into a windowed laundry room. He put his face to the cool glass and looked out, seeing only the grassy slope covered in fluttering debris and the woods beyond. He took a second to really look at the trash and saw torn, frozen pizza boxes, kids' cereal, milk cartons, some empty cans of chili, more scotch bottles. The animals that had gotten into these trash cans were probably dragging their rear ends across the forest floor. He made his way back to the kitchen, then down a hallway to the staircase leading up. He climbed the steps to the second floor and paused at the top to listen for movement, but heard nothing. He made his way down the hall slowly, his hand on his gun. He stopped at the spare bedroom and could see the bed looked like it had been recently slept in. The air inside was stale and musty. Dirty clothing was strewn across the floor, and large waisted jeans gave him the impression this was all Burton's stuff. There was a sweatshirt bearing the logo of the Sluice County Sheriff's Department crumpled on the carpet, a relic from the days before the county merger. He backed out of the room, listened for more movement, heard none, and continued on. He passed the bathroom, which was just as uninviting as the rest of the house, and moved to the closed door at the end of the hallway. He popped open the door to reveal a room so clean it sparkled. The blinds were cracked open, letting in blades of light, which cut across the still air, painting stripes onto a perfectly made king-sized bed. He stepped inside, and into a faint scent of Cheryl's perfume. The master bathroom entrance yawned off the left. The bathroom was free of debris, unlike the hallway bathroom outside, though a fine coat of dust covered the fixtures. Down the hall, he found another room that was being used as a home office. Another scotch bottle, this one half full, stood on the desk, the cork lying next to it. The smell made Wolf's mouth water, and not in the good way. He felt like a priest with a raised crucifix as he left the room. As he trotted down the stairs, his phone vibrated and rang in his pocket. He pulled it out and saw McLean's name.
Hey, you there?